made in America by Americans. It's the Corey and Joel Radio Show.
Oh, hey, baby. Welcome back to the show. Go ahead and eat your brownie. No, don't worry. You can eat it.
No. It's not professional.
He has his poot.
Who are you calling baby?
Yeah.
And if brownie is a euphemism.
All right. I haven't even introduced you yet. Calm down. Corey has a delicious mouth-watering brownie, and he wants to bite into it, but we started the show, and he can't now.
Yes, sir.
Come on, go ahead and bite into it.
No. I am all focused on the show.
You're building tension.
I am here to provide comedy for the public. I am not here to satiate my passing.
There's no way. What do you think needs that he does 80 minutes a show with that brownie untouched sitting there?
Sweats profusely.
You want to lay some cash on it, we'll see what I can
get a photograph of this brownie. Yeah, no, just leave it right where it is. I like right where it is. I like the whole setup of you.
That brownie is in grave danger.
The brownie.
That brownie is crying out for justice.
It really is. It's
dead man walking.
I need to be eaten.
Dead man walking.
No, leave it. I want to. All right, look at you.
Oh, that's the before. And the after will be a stretch mark.
Anyway, this is the
stretch mark. How do you make a stretch mark on a balloon? Because I'm already stretched out. I don't know what you're going to.
All right, let's get into the show. This is Blur's first album, Leisure, from 91. So there it is.
Wow, 91?
91.
It's an old tune.
I went back into the CD archive to find this.
I guess.
Old CD. I'm running out of stuff to play on the show, I'll be honest, but it's okay.
Yeah.
It's all good.
Just play some of the music from the 50 bands who try to friend you a day.
Yeah, well, that's true. Yeah.
We're Rusted Bucket. We're kind of a Bob Marley sort of death metal band. We're really cool.
Yeah. Do you want a proper introduction here?
Sure.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, it's our old friend. He's been on the show many times. He was the host of the Great Corey and Joel Roast.
Mm-hmm. When did we have a Great Corey and Joel
Roast? Yeah, that one wasn't on the air. We put the shitty one up.
Oh, okay.
No, it's Russ Brown, everybody. Here he is.
Russ Brown!
Russ Brown is here. How you doing, Russ?
Oh, I am doing fine.
And Russ is here.
As he's known in his all Jethro Tull cover band, he's known as Rusty Trombone.
Yes.
First
you say it, then you do it.
Exactly.
Well, Russ is here, and Russ has a big news in Russ world.
Rusted, buddy.
Russ world,
Russ world. That's Russ right,
dude. We all... Screw Magnet. We're bringing back. We're bringing back grunge, man. Friend us.
No,
Russ has big news. We'll get into that in a minute. But anyway, yeah.
Cool.
It's all good. We're not.
It's such big news that I can't believe we're going to hold it for a second.
Are we going to hold it? We'll hold it for a second.
Well, I guess we can.
No,
just to say hi to everybody and get them all ingratiated here to what's going on. And
look, Russ, you are now officially the second craziest person I know.
Why is that? Well, who's the first off? Who beat me up?
I don't know. You might be third. Although I don't really.
I think
know.
I know who.
Okay, CC Dynamite. I wouldn't claim to really know.
No.
Okay,
CC Dynamite is sort of a casual acquaintance. But in terms of people I actually have on my phone, you are now officially...
People in his phone, that's
officially
good.
Officially the second craziest
trying to think where Russ
person
is.
In my phone book.
Russ is the third craziest person. Well,
what?
No, Russ
I'm
is...
Not crazy.
No. I'll take it back.
You're five or six
yeah, down.
You
I know a couple more crazies.
You know some real kookaloos.
I can't believe I'm in the top five.
I got a few more crazies on the speed
dial. You know...
Well, I'll tell you the names of some of them.
Call me a wackadoo.
You know some loony bitches.
Well,
I'm gonna
you're number one. I think both of our number ones is the guy who people may know from this show as Hortense, the hand puppet of Leslie.
Yeah, absolutely. That's who I was
referring
to. He's in town.
He's the craziest.
I'm crazy?
What? No, look around. Yeah. Harry will be coming nearby soon to disrupt business or whatever goes on.
I'm surprised he's not standing on my front porch right now.
If Jeff Dunham had a split personality and a crystal meth addiction.
Yeah, Harry...
Harry couldn't be honestly a nicer guy off the air, and he's very
nice
straight laced and stuff. But it's like the puppet thing. You go, oh, he fucks that puppet.
Yeah, well,
I know he fucks that puppet.
We had a recent Harry encounter.
Yeah,
Harry's been in town, and we were doing some business, and it was the nuttiest.
He was insane. Yeah. Well, he's now he has a new character, and he did this at Club Bart last week, and then he did it last night on the Funhouse on W Fuck Off Radio, my other show, where he was the Jacker. The Joker's cousin from Gotham City.
Gotham?
Gotham City, yeah.
Where is
and
that?
The
West
Jacker,
Virginia? I did a gig in West Virginia.
Yeah, it's, yeah, it's $75, no hotel.
Yeah, yeah, I've done Gotham.
Sabo.
Harry is, and the Jacker's idea is that the Jacker will come to your town and steal your donuts and baked goods.
Mm-hmm. What?
Because he doesn't like cash like his cousin the Joker. He actually enjoys stealing people's baked goods.
Baked goods.
Yeah, he
swear to God, that's the theory?
He's kind of like the Hamburglar.
But he got a whole...
That's dumber than Aquaman.
Joker outfit from, you know, the Heath Ledger Joker from Dark Knight. Got the whole outfit, got the face paint, put prosthetic scars on his face with liquid latex. He did a whole... He did it on the radio.
Okay,
yeah, that's the best part. Yeah, when you do a character on radio in full makeup, that's dedication. Was,
the guy's a nut, and he's my number one craziest person. You're down on the list.
I was going to say,
then we'll
I'm
have
not
people
that crazy.
From the show. I'll get Holly from the show.
I am totally going to bang Holly.
Yeah,
Holly,
I will give it up for
completely
Holly.
Completely crazy.
She's nuts.
If you've heard Holly on the show, insane. Beyond that, I don't know if I'm willing to step on and name names, but I know who Corey's number two is, probably. And that's someone he's not going to talk about on the show, so that's okay.
Which one?
No. Come on. Starts with a C.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No, I would say Nadia.
Oh, no, Nadia from the show.
Nadia would probably be. But you're in the top five, at least.
Okay, Nadia from the show.
Why am I
crazy?
She's
not on my speed.
You've never called me up out of the blue and went into a 45-minute diatribe about how much you like anal. I guess Nadia.
Well, I'm not going to say I've never had that conversation. Well,
sure, Nadia is slightly ahead of you on the depth chart, but you're making this. You made a
depth
move.
Chart.
You made a move that puts you into the top
with
five.
His recent,
really did.
Well, Russ, why don't you announce to everybody why we think you're crazy?
What's going on
with your life?
Because I'm a professional comedian, and the way comedy pays, I of course had to take a day job.
It's
a hell of a commute.
I put my resume out there, and I get this, and I used to do engine development for General Motors, and I did transmission development for Chrysler, and I was in the Marines as a tank mechanic, so I have a pretty solid mechanical background. And out of the blue, I get this call from this guy going, hey, do you think you could still be a dynamometer? And I was like, yeah I can do that. And he goes, well, how would you like to make about 110 grand? And I was like, wow, that's a lot.
Right.
That's more than I was thinking. Sure, that's great. And he goes, well, we can hire you right away, but the commute's kind of bad. And I said, where's it at? And he said, Taj, Iraq. And I was, and it was, and now, So at first I was like, no fucking way. No, I'm not going. And it's like, remember the movie Indecent Proposal?
Yeah.
Where the guy's like, he loses all his money to the gambling guy, and they're like, you know, we'll just square up our bet. We're going to, you know, I got to bang your wife. And the guy's like, no way. That's ridiculous. And he's then I'm going to break your legs and keep your house. And he goes, well, okay, yeah, she wasn't a virgin. How many times you got to bang her?
Yeah, I mean, sure.
And it seems to make more sense the more you think about it. That's how it was with this. I was like, he's like, you're gone for a year. It's basically tax-free where you're going to keep all of that money. And I was like, that's like 3 or 4 years of income off a good job. I mean, that's not even a shitty job.
Right.
Like a good
that's
job.
That's a decade of comedy right there.
Easy, a lifetime if you're on this
for
show.
For some people,
A lifetime for people in this room.
No.
But
I honestly, I'm trying to add up. I wonder what I've made gross in comedy in my lifetime.
I'm in triple digits. Anyways,
I'm at least, look, if I lived only on the money from comedy, I'd at least be a thousandaire. I would be a thousandaire in comedy.
Yeah. But so I got thinking about it, and then I have a guy I know who's like a major in the special forces over there, and I know a lot of guys who have been over there since the first, you know, since the first days, guys, when I was in the Marines. I call over there like, oh, that place is great, man. It's mellow. The chow halls is like a Shoney's.
It's mellow considering it's in fucking Iraq.
Yeah.
Well, again.
Call me a wackadoo.
The fucking commute is terrible.
You do know it's a war zone.
So you said yes
really,
to this.
We're in Ferndale next to Detroit. So
But you immediately said yes to this?
No,
or did you
talk to your
wife about
I didn't.
Hold on.
Okay.
In defense of Ferndale.
Right.
While you might have a hobo pee on your leg.
Right.
And some crackhead might hit it and Joel might break his camera. And some crackhead might hit you up for money. They're not improvising explosive devices and hitting Humvees in the street.
So, well, that is true.
Yeah, so there you go.
So I said, you know, I don't think so. And he goes, man, it's really laid back. He goes, you're going to be in the center of a giant base that's not in a dangerous area.
They tell you this bullshit.
And he says,
you know they tell you this bullshit.
Well, I understand, but here's the, and so I was like, I don't think so. And he goes, you never have to leave. I said, I'm never going on a convoy. And he's like, oh, no, I would never. No, you don't have to do that. You're too important. We don't want you to go on anywhere off the. I said, I don't care how important something is off the base. I'm not leaving to go
so
get it.
So you're going
to
be on an American military base?
Yep. Camp Taji, half American, half Iraqi.
Yeah, I was going to say, but your job is to teach the Iraqis, I thought.
Yeah, which is great because the Iraqis had trucks and vehicles, and then we blew them all up.
Yeah.
And we blew up their factories this time, so they can't make more trucks.
Yeah.
And they said, well, we really want to get this thing going, but we need some trucks. And they were like, we have all these trucks here off to the side that we can sell you. And they were like, but you blew up our other trucks. Well, we won't blow these up because we're selling them to you. Well, so
I just want to point out the last time we tried this. What happened to our country?
What's that?
Well, it's a little country called Japan.
Mm-hmm.
We blew up all their factories, and then we came in and taught them how to build shit.
Yeah.
And then they stole our fucking jobs!
Well, have you tried to get a Verizon wireless accessory? I think it's already started.
Right.
The Iraqis and the
Iraqis.
They're taking
over
this country.
Come in, I have the page tell. Sprint.
Yeah. Oh. Hey,
cellular.
Fuck you. If you want a car charger, you got to go through... The Iraqis, I think.
That is true, usually. But, you know, you...
Fuck BP. Mobile number one. I have phone card. Fuck BP. Bullshit. Camel piss.
But so, yeah, so I was like, I don't know. And I got thinking about it. I got talking to people, and I go, no, man, it's real mellow. And I have friends of mine who've been doing this for years, that when I got out, I went to the civilian sector, and these guys went out and have been teaching the Saudis and people in Kosovo and everywhere all over the world, teaching them how to do that. And they said, man, it's a great living, and you can just take a year off. You can do whatever. And so I was like, I don't know. So the more I thought about it, the more it seemed to kind of be a good idea at the time. And it took me about a month and a half.
While you're there, why not start a one-nighter?
Don't think I won't.
Start a one-nighter, and Pennington will pick it up.
Because when you bomb in Taji.
Well,
yeah.
Just make sure that your one-nighter isn't anywhere near a Yoder one-nighter.
Yeah, I know.
You know, like he might have something in Kandahar, and it could be a problem, right? Yeah. I just want you to know, it's in the middle of a run.
I heard Charter was opening up in Fallujah.
Yeah, don't.
So don't.
Exactly.
You don't want to go there.
You want to make sure that Charter's you're not messing with anyone else's, business there. So.
Ridiculous.
Oh, I was.
I know.
Excited.
I tried to get.
I'll tell you what. If I had a choice between like Quetta or Taylor for Kevin Zioli, I would be a tough call.
Wow. Yeah.
Oh.
So you're going now. How much discussion with your wife? Because you're a married guy, three kids.
Yep. Yep.
And
yeah, that'll make you leave the country.
And your wife works full time. No, not anymore.
No, she's a stay at home mom now.
Oh,
so.
Is she really?
Yep. She.
So now you got to go out.
Yeah,
there.
Now you have to work.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Yep. She quit last Thursday.
Oh, really?
Yep. Oh shit.
Yeah, she's like, yeah, I'm out.
As soon as you, she couldn't even wait for you to leave.
No.
Yeah, she quit. And all right. Well, all shit. So.
Well.
So how much? What was that discussion like? What was that?
I mean, it was weird. It was like when I first got out of the Marines, I was working 7 days a week, 12 hours a day, and saying, you know, hey, you know, I would rather you not work and let me just carry the overtime than you work a job you don't like.
Oh.
Which is a nice way to say. You bitch about that job so much, I would pay you $10 an hour to shut the fuck up.
Okay.
But that's not what I said because I'm tactful. Yeah. Well, then it worked out because she got this great job as an exec at this bank, and she made a boatload of cash. And because I never actually told her the whole thing about, you know, you're killing me with your stories of the work you hate. She goes, hey, you let me, you know, come and go with. Why don't you be a stay-at-home dad? And I was like, yeah. So I haven't had a job since 2001, other than comedy.
Right. So
and,
you
which is hard.
So now you get to work, and she gets to quit.
So I said, yeah. Now she gets to quit. I get to work. Someday we'll work this out. We're on the same schedule.
Just think of it this way, Russ. Though you could have had two incomes without those wonderful. Beautiful, grubby little screaming bastards.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you hadn't had
Listen,
to have a brood of mewling hillbilly infants.
You know, they're not, though. You would think if anyone is ever
well
met me, they would assume.
Your children are really disappointing because
they were born.
They're actually wearing clothes.
Yeah, you would
they're
assume
not
they'd
covered
be
in soot.
Born
I would think.
You'd think they'd be born with a mullet and mutton chops, but they didn't. They
be playing with a rusty nail. You know, I just, my 5 year
old. My 5 year old the other day got mad at the 7 year old, and she said, "I'm really mad at him." And I said, "Why?" And she goes, "I don't like being duped."
Oh.
And I was like, "You're 5. What do
Where'd
you,
they learn that word? Not from
know.
You.
Probably from their real dad, because that's not out of me. Oh, my God. Those kids are smart.
I so actually
your kids
like
are how old
kids.
No.
7, 5, and 2.
Wow. See, I think in a way I was thinking about this, and I'm like, maybe it's good that you go now.
Yeah.
And here's why. Because the kids don't know that. There's guys with bombs, you know, 100 feet from you.
At the when
they're 13 and 14, and kids at school are going to say, "Oh, your daddy's going to get blown up by the Iraqis." No.
I'll tell you what, the 7-year-old's going to be kind of pissed at you later on. The 2-year-old, yeah, woo, the just because the 2-year-old's flinging poo out of her diaper.
Well,
who cares?
The 7-year-old, I we're like partners on Halo, so he's going to be mad about that.
Oh, really?
But,
well,
yeah. But
why don't you get him Call of Duty 4, and he can watch and say, "Look, there's daddy." And there's as you know, you shoot terrorists.
Sure.
This is what daddy's gonna do for a year.
No, I'm not shooting anyone.
Well, you might have to.
It's so funny. But I've talked to everybody about it. I've got all the info on the base and people who are on the ground there before I made the decision. And they're like, "You're not gonna be in a helmet and a flak jacket. You're gonna be in like a collared polo shirt." You know, going back and forth from the theater.
Let me ask you this: if the shooting starts.
Yeah.
How quick are you to go grab a weapon? What's your deal there?
Well, that's the thing is I'm great with guns. I mean, I'm really, really.
But are you allowed to have a gun? How does that work?
I don't know. I was going to ask him. I'm actually going to call and go, "Can I bring a .45?
Yeah.
I'm really partial to one. I really don't think it's necessary. They said the base is so laid back that you can't even hear the explosions from the goofballs. And my buddy who was just there.
Well, that's good. You know what? Yeah. When there's explosions going on, I want a
you
nice.
You can see them, but you can't hear them. Yeah. It's that far away.
I want a nice sound-controlled environment.
He said everything's been really toned down, and he said the base is so laid back that the biggest threat you have is that the dick MPs are going to give you a speeding ticket for your little electric cart for driving too fast.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
And he's like, this is not like, you know, Constantina wire and, you know, all the other shit.
I don't know.
I'm going to be in. I have a little trailer with air conditioning. I'm going to have high speed internet access. I think my cell phone even works there. So,
really?
Yeah.
Well, you see, Joel, the surge worked. So
honestly, listen, I'm no huge fan, but honestly, I think it did. It toned it down at least there. But
now only like 3 or 4 guys a week die.
Well,
and that's why the beauty of the surge. That's what happened.
But he's saying Taj. What part is Taj? Are they
Camp Taji? It's north of Baghdad.
So they're what religion are those people?
I don't know. It's a base,
like Shia,
probably
Sunni,
Catholic,
and Kurds, and stuff.
No, I'm on a base. I don't know.
Right.
I'm never
the
base.
Like the city.
The city?
The city of Sunnis?
I don't think it's in the Sunni triangle or anything like that.
Maybe they're Shias. Shias are the predominant, right?
Yeah, they're the regular.
Shia is the predominant, and then Sunni is like the, you know.
And then the Kurds
are the
Episcopalians. Retards.
The Kurds are way in the north.
Yeah.
And
yeah, if you're in the outlying, you know, wilderness areas, then yeah, those Bedouins have been crazy for 1,000 years. But, you know.
Well, they live in the fucking desert. That would probably tend to make you a little nuts.
Yeah. They said, "Hey, it's kind of nice you're getting there now. It's the end of sandstorm season." I was like, okay. And they're like, "Of course, the rainy season's coming, though." And I go, "Well, how long does it rain there?" And they're like, "About 2-3 months."
So are you going
to
be...
It rains for 2 to 3 months. I was like,
"Yeah."
Like I'm going to be in Seattle. Or some shit.
So are you going to be like in some sort of a military garage or something working
on
these cars?
Are
you going to be out? I picture you outside with like sand flying in your face.
I'm going to have there's a giant facility that we're going to hand to the Iraqis this time next year.
Yeah.
And I'm there just to make sure they know how to run a dyno and, you know, I might help them with their welding or something like that to make sure they know how to run a TIG machine. But, yeah, I don't, you know, it's just me and 3 or 4 other guys that are all prior service military guys.
Is this really a year-long project or what?
Yeah, they're going to hand it over in a year. They've been handing stuff over as it is now, but they built this huge facility. It's a couple $1 billion, I think. And then they're going to hand over the vehicle one next year, and then next year I might go, I don't know, I don't think I'm going to, but theoretically I could go back and teach them how to fix tanks next year. And then,
I'm sure your wife will be happy about that.
Yeah, well.
By the way, now that
you can come back and still visit your kids.
The
new dad won't care that much.
No, I know.
The new dad is going to allow you. You have
how long I've been married. I don't know.
You have rights to see those kids. You didn't make them.
He asked me to roll over, and then you know what?
Well,
did it hurt? It always hurts.
I'm talking about the new dad coming in. And,
that's fine.
Now that the money's flowing in, Russ, look, as your friend, I have a service I will offer you.
All right.
I will drive by the house. I will bring a black light, and I will go over the sheets. And I will make sure, I will see what Tracy's up to.
Oh, God.
I will detect foreign substances.
Would you dab her vagina and make sure?
I will. I will have to do that.
No, if I mean, Russ
really?
Is giving me the
How's
guy.
That better?
I don't know, but I'm like,
the amateur gynecologist / CSI.
What
That's
I will
perfect.
Do is I will create a mold of Tracy's vagina, and I will make sure that nothing has been in there.
Oh, God.
I will plaster
You know, I get 28 days vacation.
Yeah.
And I'll come back about every 90 days.
So you'll come back for 2 days or
and
something.
And they pay to fly me in and out, and all my food's taken care of, and every nickel I make goes straight into the bank.
So you'll come home for a week every 3 months?
Yeah.
All right.
It's not that bad. I don't know.
I know. Well, Corey's already taking care of Tim Walsh's wife while he goes away to get
a
job.
It's a service. It really is. There should be a comics widows.
Yeah, Tim. Yeah. Tim got a job in Florida, and he's down in Orlando now.
Wow.
And I'm
after being in Chicago for a year.
He was really pasty white to be in Florida, any place with a sun.
He was in Chicago, but at least he would come home every couple of weeks.
That must be the best way for that marriage to run. Because
I don't know.
Honestly, it's a great way for any marriage.
Who can
it really
Tim,
is.
Who can put up with Tim Walsh that much?
Well, I don't know. She married him, and they got no kids or anything.
Once you've been married for a while and you have a pile of children, it just becomes a race to whose insurance money gets collected first.
Yeah,
it's just like... I'm going to outlive you. No, I'm going to outlive you. You're not spending that money. But,
I mean, I guess it's a good thing for you.
Provided
you survive, this is going to be the greatest thing you ever did. If you die,
I told my mother, and my mother is a lunatic, and the first words out of her mouth were...
I'm shocked by that.
Yeah, who knew? I come from good stock.
I think she's some kind of a nut.
Yeah.
She's a girl.
She said, she goes, you better not go. It's dangerous there. And they're gonna cut your head off. They're going to behead you. And I went, I'm not even there and already I'm dead. She goes, they're going to behead you and it's going to be on video. And even if your kids don't watch CNN, they're going to be able to look it up on the internet years later.
Russ,
is that the legacy you
want to
leave?
I want you to promise us that we will get the YouTube exclusive.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really, we want to cover
we
that.
We want the beheading. Can we have that?
Yeah, but she said my kids are going to Google my beheading. I was like, well, okay then. Thanks.
I will say that stuff seems to have died down a little bit.
Yeah.
They don't behead...
Probably because a lot of reporters fucking left. There's very few there left.
Yeah, because bad news doesn't sell. They wouldn't shuffle some dude.
How many times... Let me ask you honestly, though. How much serious Iraq coverage do you see on the news every night? Not very much.
Yeah, not much.
You really don't.
Well, not with Britney turning it around and shedding some pounds.
Afghanistan, you would... If Obama or somebody didn't mention it every now and then, you'd fucking forget we had a war going on in Afghanistan.
Afghanistan is actually
picking
up.
They don't cover Afghanistan at all.
Well.
That's where my buddy who was in Iraq is, he's a sniper, and he's going back to Afghanistan.
Well.
So.
That's where the shit's going down, and they don't want
to
talk to you.
If you want to talk about the outlying areas, there's shit going down all over the place, but, it's not. I mean. You can't actively put people in a country where they're not. Think of how they would take it here. No one would take that very well. They'd be good and pissed off.
But that's my whole point about the whole. Somebody had a sign at the McCain speech that said you can't win an occupation.
Yeah, well,
and there's sort of some truth to that. They're going to keep blowing us up as long as we're there. Somebody is going to keep shooting.
The thing is, it's like people forget that they actively resisted the American occupation of Germany for 9 years. Yeah. 9 years. They had their little werewolf teen Nazi groups that actively shot, snipered, and blew stuff up.
Castle Wolfenstein?
Yeah, it's a good game.
But let me ask you this then. This is a company. You're not working directly for the government. You're working for a contractor.
Yeah, working for a contractor. I'm not working for the notorious ones like Blackwater or KBR or any of those guys.
I'm honestly
going there because, I don't know. I'm not really into the whole exploiting the war for money thing. Granted, I'm making more than I would make.
Yeah, no, not
here.
At all.
But I also kind of go, I'm doing it to hand a facility over to those guys to where they can do their own thing, and I'm not that exploitive. You know, all right. So I don't know, but well, I mean, it's pretty wicked over there. You can't even wash your own laundry. They have there's a group of people from I want to say Yugoslavia, but it's not. I think it's like Chechnya. I think is the company that has the thing. You have to you take your laundry and you turn it over, and this is for every military troop and everything.
Yeah.
And it's just, I think it's like $100 a load of laundry or something like that, which is ridiculous. And it's kind of like a money mill. That's where all the money's going. But
well, I've heard about that. Where
$100 for a load of laundry.
I heard like they have a Tim Hortons on some of these military bases.
Oh yeah,
and they actually bring over like civilians to work in them.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like you'll go and there's like Canadian.
But they pay you a lot.
Canadian college.
But the guy at the Tim Hortons is making 50K.
Yeah, they're making great money, and so
it's tax free.
They have Burger King. The first 80 grand on the base.
The first 80 grand is tax free.
So you're gonna be like hanging out on the base with the military. You're gonna be sharing.
Yeah, half of it's it's a huge base, and half of it is Iraqi, and half of it is American. And I'm technically gonna be on the Iraqi side, but I can go either way. I can go to the other.
We
side.
We can barely afford to pay the schmuggies over here.
Did you say schmuggies?
Yeah, schmuggy. By the way, it's a proper.
I'm sorry. All right, well, it's plural. It's several of them.
All right.
We can't afford to pay the lovely young fellows over here at the Tim Hortons $6.50 an hour in this country. But we can pay him $100,000 to go work in Iraq.
That's apparently what we're doing.
It's an amazing clusterfuck.
You know, it's a pretty good deal if you're into exploiting taxpayers. I mean, they just
bleeding the taxpayers dry.
You can pour a cup of coffee. What's your problem? Well, what do you got?
What's the clinical term? Oh, pussy.
I think they also probably take people who actually are currently employed at some of these businesses.
Drug screenings.
To go over
aptitude
there.
Tests.
I think they take like the best of the best.
If they need a film critic, I'm over there.
What do you got? You got no skills that would translate over there.
Corey's being sent to Iraq for his biting sarcasm.
You're not really going to do much. I mean, you and I could be on Armed Forces Radio or something, but we don't look like we've served in the Armed Forces anytime.
I was a barista.
You know, like they're not really going to take us for that. But,
I
got to
tell you, there's nothing I hated more than making coffee.
Yeah?
Yeah. It sucked.
Wow.
It's just like that foam wine getting burned all the time.
He's got the worst job ever, Russ. You're going to Iraq, possibly getting blown up. Corey made coffee.
Oh, you poor man.
Oh,
my gosh. You served coffee to...
That was the worst job he's ever
debutantes.
Had.
Now, being a barista, it sucked. It was really annoying.
Oh, yeah, I know. So. The sandstorms, the 3 months of rain. But no, everybody else over there, these civilian contractors do make a lot of money, but they have to work 12 hours a day, 7 days a week. I only work 10 hours a day, 6 days a week. When the guy told me that, I go, what am I going to do on a day off?
Yeah, what are you doing
on
a day off?
I have no idea.
Wow.
I'm probably going to masturbate furiously and go to the gym and work the other arm. I don't know.
So they're giving you internet. So you're saying you can jack off to whatever you want.
Red tube.
There's no restrictions on your internet in the military base. No?
I'm just saying, Russ, you bitch. You look, tell me how tough your job is. What if somebody orders a macchiato and an Americano at the same time?
Oh, right.
You know what I mean? It's very
And if they say half-calf or the whip, no whip, low-fat whip. Oh, I know. It must have been torture.
I hated it. They got a hot foam gun and the steam, and you burn yourself a couple times a week.
Oh, God. It's very annoying. Oh, I know it.
The biggest pussy.
I know it. I pussed out and joined the Marines. God.
Wait. Hold on. I'm sorry. Let's talk about redirecting fire. When was the last time Joel Fragamenti had any sort of job?
Wait a minute. No, that's not true. I have multiple jobs now.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
Multiple jobs.
I have multiple jobs now.
So you talk to stoners for a clown program.
Yeah.
And you do Sabo gigs. And you're sitting there. You're on your fucking look at you on your high horse of moral superiority.
I'm not
sandbagging wrestling training tape. Motherfucker.
I'm not being bitching
about
serving.
When was the last time
fucking call?
You worked at a movie theater 15 years ago.
But he wasn't bitching about how hard he had it either. You were just like, oh, this barista.
Yeah, I'm not bitching. I mean, look, I have to rent and maintain my home for people.
And that's not an
easy job either.
Absolutely. It is very tough collecting those rent checks.
But I don't bitch about it. I'm not saying
he wasn't bitching about it.
I'm not the one who says that.
Hold on.
Why are you not taking my side on this?
I'm all for lampooning Joel, but he kind of has a point.
What?
I'm not a big fag about it.
You who complain about what a loafing, lazy ass Joel is all the time. Now, when the time comes, you're laying there.
Well, Corey,
just fucking come on.
Well, Corey, when someone's got to do the interstitials on the fucking horror movie from 1956, yeah, that's a real fucking tough job. And you're sitting here and you bitch about it, and you're stressed out about the fucking, oh, the Godzilla suit I had to wear looked like shit last week. Oh, this guy, I don't know anything. And he's all stressing out about it it's a big fucking
this
deal.
This from a man who can't handle a phone call because he's got a bowl of cereal in front of him.
Well,
I got to eat cereal.
He always changes the subject.
Who'll say shit like, I had to paint a door today. Oh, I'm tired. Hold the fuck on.
Listen.
You are the giantest candy ass in the history of candy.
You're so
right. No, you are seriously made of fucking gummy bear material.
He's just changing
you
the topic.
You soft ass motherfucker.
We were on a topic and he's just going to change it.
He's very redirected.
He's just angry.
Well, hold on. You don't leave a man down. You don't leave a man in a foxhole. Where's the fucking cover fire?
Russ,
cover me.
Get the brownie in.
Tell this
pudding soft motherfucker
what his story is.
I love I'm pudding soft. Look who's talking.
But just don't. How dare you? Who can't crack?
I don't recall you getting out of bed
before noon. I call it 11 o'clock. I'm sleeping.
Well, you know,
Jesus Christ,
listen, dude. I'm
you
just saying,
soft ass candy.
You
motherfucker.
Bitch about stupid shit all the time. I'm just saying, I don't bitch about stupid shit.
Oh, for Christ's sake. You're pulling
Wait, this
is Karl Rovian tag.
Yeah, that's
this
right.
is like McCain
that's
saying
right.
he's a
Oh,
changer.
Wait a minute, Russ. Hey, I'm a Republican. Wait, let him go off on that bullshit.
No,
go tell everybody how I
just,
love
if
Bill
you
O'Reilly.
Lie, if you lie loud enough.
Seen.
If you lie loud
well,
enough,
you,
it's the truth.
Russ, Corey,
you
lie
nothing.
About me all the time.
You know, you do not.
Why do you
work for an hour a week at the funhouse?
Well,
you
know
working motherfucker.
Yeah,
This is like the faggy Burton Ernie. You know, after 15 years of gay marriage,
bitched about
they're just like
the barista is the worst job in the world.
Honestly,
that was your premise, and it's silly.
I didn't say it sucks.
It's a silly
I didn't
premise.
Laugh out loud.
If I said, you know, stand-up comedian is the hardest job in the world, that would be a laughable thing too.
I said hated being a barista.
It's harder than a barista.
It probably is.
I didn't say it was the hardest job in the world. I said I hated being a barista.
Well.
Well, you were kind of like, with the
But what
steam
do you enjoy doing? That's what I want to know because you don't seem to enjoy anything.
That is true.
You do seem to bitch about
your ideal job.
You bitched already about comedy today.
Well, no, I'm just saying your ideal job. What would your ideal job be?
My ideal job
mm-hmm.
is going to be checking up on your wife with that black
See,
light.
He can't
That's
even, he can't
be a
even
good
answer
gig.
A question honestly.
That's a good gig.
That's right.
No, the point is that you bitch about that job and you know Russ is going to take a difficult job. I mean, let's be honest.
Well, I don't even think it's going to be difficult. It's just you.
But
it's
there's the
overseas.
Stresses of being overseas and away from your family is difficult.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, not really. I can be with
he
my
seems
wife.
To be unworried about it.
Yeah, I'm all right with
Here's
it.
The bottom line. I would be more upset having to go work as a barista. Then Russ is going to a for the big paycheck. So it's
it
fine.
Is a huge pay, yeah.
It is a good paycheck.
If I was independently wealthy or a winning lottery ticket holder, I probably wouldn't go. But
Russ, think about how many repossessed crack houses you can buy
and
resell.
Yeah. How's that going, by the way? Is that over?
You know, I had the one good buy and sell, and then I had a couple other ones that netted me some money that was nice, but it was just... You know, we had some family medical billing that we had to deal with.
Yeah,
Tracy's
so the
ma, and so our nest egg went away.
Yeah, you
so
need
that's
cash
where the day job
to be
came
in that
from.
Business.
Well, yeah, you got
to be in the buying and selling of real estate.
Yeah,
when they always have those stupid real estate like ads on TV,
they're like,
"I made $250,000 in 6 weeks," but they have to have some capital to start off with, or else it's not.
Yeah,
really
sometimes
work.
They also do a thing where if you find a
distressed
house,
property.
No, the way they do that no money down thing is if you. Let's just say, hypothetically, we'll turn the clock forward 1 year, and Joel has lost this house. and it's bank-owned, or he's gonna lose it.
This man has a time machine. How did he know?
It's like you looked directly into the future.
Yeah, Joel is going to lose this house, hypothetically. And Corey says, well, I know Joel is going to lose this house, and it's worth this much, but he only owes, let's say it's worth 70, and he only owes 40. He'll say to Joel, I'll give you 45, some traveling money.
Okay.
And then you find some ambitious couple or a contractor or somebody new, you go, I can get you this house for 50 grand and it's worth 70. And they'd go, oh, that's a great idea. Yeah. If it wasn't Michigan, it would be. But then he comes in and Corey would take it under contract for 50 and sell it to the other guy for 50, give you 5.
Yeah.
You walk, and then Corey makes 5. And that's how you can literally make money without any money.
Yeah. Now, of course, Russ's great money-making scam has now left him working in Iraq servicing tanks.
But, I mean, that's the theory.
Bullshit artist.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So, but I mean, it worked out so well.
It worked out so great. He took a job in Iraq.
And Russ is going to be shoveling camel turds.
There's no camels there. Iraq is actually, there's a jungle outside of Baghdad, like a fucking jungle. It's the Fertile
Crescent.
It's true.
Baghdad is a tropical zone.
It really is.
All right. Well, but here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a break.
All right.
Corey is eyeing that brownie. Yeah, look at it. He's wrapped it up carefully.
In grave danger.
I think your thing is in deep trouble.
It's sweating. It's not the humidity. It's the ominous being thrown into that maw, cast into the bottomless gullet.
And that was a good brownie, too. You had one.
It was delicious. Yeah, I'm going to eat another one.
That was from my roommate.
I'm not going to make too much fun of him.
My roommate had a party.
Yeah, you mowed one down before the show started.
But I'm not a big, angry beanbag chair either. So I'm not going to take too much shit about the fucking...
dare you.
A sarcastic beanbag chair with a receding hairline.
Oh, wow. Fucking look at that.
Call me shit, but...
All right, we're gonna stop picking on Corey.
Desperate house guys, how that tour work out?
It's great.
We're gonna stop picking on Corey because when we get back, I'm gonna talk about how I trounced him in fantasy football this week, and your life just gets worse after the break.
How about you do the Rubik's Cube in 3 minutes?
Yeah, why don't we do that? All right, good night. All right, we'll be back after the break. But stay tuned. More Blur. It is Corey, Joel, we're back. Russ Brown.
Jesus.
The break was wonderful.
Can you hear me?
There you go.
All right, I'm back.
And the brownie only got half eaten.
Oh, mine went
away.
I ate my whole
Russ
brownie.
Brownie number two. I had no brownie, but I've had those. I've probably had a brownie every day since the party, on Saturday.
Those things are
unbelievable. That's like three brownies. So
that is.
Look, those are really good.
If you're going to develop type 2 diabetes, let it be over those brownies.
That's a good ass brownie.
Wow. All
right.
I lost a foot, but I ate a whole pan of those brownies.
So, you know, wow, this thing's blowing away. Russ is going to Iraq.
Yep.
I'm a dick because I didn't like being a barista.
It was just funny. Okay. See the humor in your comment and move along. It's fine.
Wow.
Now, here's the thing, though. I am working on a new way to make money.
What's that?
Because let's face it. We've all done stand-up comedy.
Right.
We don't really particularly like conventional modes of you worked at GM.
Mm-hmm.
It sucked, right? You didn't really love doing it.
It's not creative at all.
None of us like doing that. So I have now, I am working on it. I am learning. I am an apprentice now. I'm an apprentice. I am learning the Steve Bill system of selling DVDs on eBay. That's what I'm going to do.
That's what you're doing?
Yeah.
He was on our show talking about his DVD business.
That was one of the greatest moments.
And it really was amazing, fascinating.
Steve Bills is on the crazy list, too.
He is. But it's a different kind of crazy.
Yeah.
He's more like a OCD kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Wow. You know, he's got he buys these DVDs used, I think, through video stores. Then he puts them in a new case, reconditions the surface of them in a machine that he spent a lot of money on, shrink wraps them, and then sells them on eBay for $5 each, and says he makes thousands of dollars a year doing it.
Really?
Yeah. And look at Russ's expression.
Wow.
Russ, the bullshit scam artist of all time, Russ.
Yeah.
I didn't have to go to Iraq.
Yeah.
Oh.
Russ is making money clicking on websites.
Did I ever tell you that I used to have a pet waste removal company?
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah,
I remember you telling me that.
It was Dr. Doodoo's pet waste removal. And I did it when... no, I was working at GM, and they'd cut our overtime. And Tracy was between jobs because I was doing all the overtime, so she didn't have to work if she didn't want to. And I needed the money because I have a house payment. And we didn't have any children at the time, but I still needed money to support my Doom buggy. And So I started this. I'd heard some guy was on Howard Stern, and he was major duty.
Yeah.
And they said he said he was making $45,000 a week between nine guys. And I was like, So I sat down at work and came up with Dr. Doodoo, and I had a slogan. It was your dog's crap is our bread and butter.
Oh.
And I thought I could put that on T-shirts and hats.
Yeah.
Now, my question is, Major Duty obviously worked his way up through the ranks. And,
yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And,
I was a doctor.
A doctor, though.
I was a doctor.
How did you get right to doctor?
I was a doctor.
He's a doctor. He went through medical school.
The same way Dr. Phil did.
An internship.
I said I was, and then I was.
So what? How did this business go then?
It was great. I came up, and I even was going to have a process patent, and I had radio commercials, and I used a shop vac. Sears was having a blowout sale on these six-horse shop vacs.
Yeah.
And I would take the shop vac, and I would suck up the dog crap, and I could do a yard of dog crap, an average yard, in about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
3 to 5 minutes. And I would just plug into their house, suck up the dog crap. It would go into a bag. I'd throw the bag into their garbage, and I'd be done. And I'd charge $10 to $20, depending on the size of the yard and the size of the dogs. And I could not do enough of those. The business was booming. It was tragic. And I made more money doing that than I did on my overtime. But when the overtime came back, I didn't want to be known as the guy who sucks dog shit. So I quit the Dr. Doodoo thing. But
What did you think that was going to pull down then? Had I done it?
I'm really pissed about it now. I'm like, I could have hired teenagers to do it.
Yeah,
I mean,
right.
You know, it's way faster than mowing
lawns. Joel and I could have been out there doing Dr. Doodoo.
Seriously, I was the only one. This was probably 1997.
Yeah.
I'd have to say, and I was the only one. And now there's a couple of different.
I've seen that at the vet. Yeah, I took my cat in. Yeah,
yeah. But I was the only one. There was Major Duty was in the tri-states up in New York.
Okay.
And then there was nobody around here, so I would have been exclusive.
Well, I'd do that for the money. I was
making good money.
That.
Yeah.
Back then, I was slaving under a hot cappuccino wand.
That's right.
And so...
if we and Corey do that, do you have to serve any coffee? Because if not, we're good.
Yeah, I'm telling you. It was done. I would be done in less than 5 minutes, and I'd walk away with $20. It was all cash, and it was, you know... Yeah. But... Oh my God, Joel! Scratching your balls?
I scratched the inside of my leg.
Elbow deep into your shorts pant leg.
What the hell? We're on radio. What are you talking
about? I'm sorry. Wow!
Did you get a good
shot
there?
I'm just saying it looked like that video of the elephant digging crap out of the other elephant's ass.
The weird part about this is Joel's on radio, but he's in full makeup, and that's the really weird.
But
he's in a costume.
I was having a conversation, and I've never been looking into the eyes of another man while he's like nodding at you, like yes,
well,
uh huh. And
the
then
radio.
He just stuffs his arm into the pant leg of his shorts.
I didn't even, to his elbow. I didn't touch my nuts. I touched the inside of my leg.
My God,
and that was it.
It was
that's
like
all?
You had to have nuts.
It's
that,
like you,
that, you were deep in there.
No,
absolutely.
No nuts.
You were.
My
you
nuts
were,
are over here.
You were jostling something, but. Here. Oh my God!
I think there was nuts.
I was like, nope, no prostate cancer. Continue with your story, Russ.
There's,
I was
right,
looking you right
fine.
In the eyes.
I was, you were telling your dog shit.
Well, that's important. Saying, that's, it's important to check for lumps.
But that's
really
just
is.
Weird. I feel like a prison guard watching the guy jack off like through the bars.
like, no guys,
just
are,
staring right at me as he goes
you're,
right
you're at
to
a
the
base
work.
Full of fucking stinky Iraqi guys.
Yeah, you're not going to.
You're going to be smelling nuts.
Speaking of a stinky base, how does your taint smell? That's fucking awful. Jesus Christ. Fucking, there's a stinky base you just
Russ,
checked.
It's good having you here today, and good luck in Iraq. And, okay, so let's talk about fantasy football. All right, Corey. What,
I just thought, I'm sorry. I've never had a conversation with another grown man in
well,
a small
good,
room.
Corey was pissing about 5 minutes ago.
Yeah,
and now
see
I
there,
am.
Corey, where you at, buddy? You fucking got my back.
I'm laughing at his stinky nuts.
I'm just saying that was kind of weird.
I said he got balls.
I wasn't expecting it.
All right.
He got it. That little stubby arm got all the way up to the sack. And that's amazing.
Like anywhere he can throw in an adjective, like derogatory word about me, he throws it in. You could have said he stuck his arm up into his nutsack, but that wasn't insulting enough. I had to stick my
you're not
stubby
exactly,
arm.
You're not well, exactly Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, so it's.
It's
you,
radio.
You really
it's,
had to work hard I'm to get to those.
It's
nuts.
Radio,
he
and
in,
he's
but,
a wordsmith. He's
yeah,
painting
he
a picture.
He has to throw in every fucking thing. All
I don't
right.
know. I just know that it looked like you were checking your prostate.
No, none of that.
No, meanwhile, right. Nobody's dying in the death pool that counts.
Nobody that counts.
Yeah, there's death everywhere, but it's none of them self.
Yeah, it's been a while since anyone's had a quality death. Who had the last death in our death pool, Corey? Was that you?
No, somebody had you. Right. I think you did.
I had Estelle Getty.
I still have the lead.
Yeah, I don't
Estelle
know.
Getty died. Would you get a point?
I thought
for that?
Rob Rose has the lead, or do you have the lead?
I have the lead.
You have
oh,
the lead.
Vern Troyer. You're awful. Victoria look at the list.
Vern Troyer is big points. Come on, he's a midget.
And
they
Corey,
can't live forever.
Corey, of course. As soon as I pull up the fantasy football scores, he goes, "Let's go to the death pool where I'm winning."
I lost
because he doesn't want to. But listen, you talked so much shit last week about fantasy football. And let me just give people the official score in case they didn't check.
It's week one.
It is week one.
I am still the reigning champion.
I just wanted to let you know that Tatum's Bellhops, which is coached by me, Joel, 110 points to Corey's 56 points in week one. So there you go. I almost doubled
know,
your score.
I know I'm the only heterosexual male not into fantasy football,
yeah.
But I swear to God, it's just scrapbooking for men. It's people hooting and hollering about the fucking, I don't know, the dumbest shit.
Well, I mean,
I can't get into it. I want to.
The game and the players win.
I
want to
get into it. But then
the players that score get points and the better players. Yeah, I'm not Corey, you know.
It's like, I'm really into gambling and all the stuff that goes into that, but I don't like the risk.
I thought Corey should have a real good team, and some of his guys laid an egg this week, and a couple guys got injured. I think Joseph Addai got hurt. He had a problem.
Tom Brady would have been a tough quarterback to lose on the first week.
Me and neither me, the guy named Roger from our message board had him. And so he screwed the pooch.
Yeah.
Who was the high scorer in the week? Was that
Pasquale
you?
Beat me by a point. He had 100 and I think 11 or 112, something like that. Yeah.
Well, if I wanted to win, I would have picked up Michael Turner.
Yeah,
the
well,
because
he beat the shit out of the Lions.
Oh my God, who's got Grant? Because he's gonna run rough.
You know, I'm not
Lions.
Sure who has a.
That's the rule. You want to win in fantasy football. Take whoever's running against the Lions.
Oh my God.
Yeah, the Lions were so bad this week. I mean, and I would like. Was somewhat optimistic, especially because it was the Falcons and the Falcons sucked. Not because I thought the Lions were much better than they were last year, because I don't think they are. But
the
I thought
Falcons
they beat the Falcons.
Suck. Yeah.
But the thing about the Lions last year, as bad as they sucked, they were getting beat by teams that had something. Like they were getting beat by
and they were almost
Philadelphia.
Beating, they almost beat the
almost
Giants.
Beat the Giants. Yeah. But,
I mean, those guys won the Super Bowl.
Yeah. So I was just really fucking. Pissed last week.
I don't know. I know I missed the beginning of the game. I was like, oh, fuck, the game's on. I turned it on. It's the first quarter. It's 21-0.
Yeah.
And the announcer goes, oh, geez. Look. Oh, they have 260 yards. Of, and the announcers couldn't be where they were. Like, oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, that's wow. Wow.
It was a funeral. It was really bad. It was like a horrible, like.
And, you know, the offense, they scored 21 points. The offense was not that bad.
And they could have taken the lead when Kitna threw that interception that I guess Roy Williams blew his route. So they actually did have a chance
don't
to come back.
Don't get me started on Kitna.
Yeah, I know. You're not a Kitna fan. Don't but what are you going to do now?
Well, Kitna, blockhead. Blockhead Kitna.
Yeah.
Who runs like a man with a load in his pants. But he had a clear shot at the end zone.
He could have run in.
And
for
he
the
throws
touchdown.
The ball. He's
yeah.
running and he throws
You're
the
completely
ball.
Completely right about that.
And he had like nobody in front of him for 5 yards and he could have just run in.
Because you know what?
End zone.
He's old. He doesn't want to get hit and get his brain scrambled and he's skittish. It's just a reaction.
But there was nobody there.
But you're not. You don't have the brain of an old. Burr. An old. Quarterback.
I don't have the brain of concrete that this guy
Your
has.
Brain.
He's a fucking statue.
Your brain would have gotten you into the end zone, but the rest of you would have prevented it. But yeah, you knew you would have had anyone would have had the instinct to run in.
Yeah, the thinker questions Kitna's mobility.
Hey, I'm a two down lineman. That's what I am. I can't. I got no wind. That's what I'm in. I'm fine with that.
But you're yeah.
But look, Kitna. First of all, I think Jesus told Kitna not to run into the end zone. I think that's what happened.
He needs to pray harder, honestly.
Well, that's a big problem I have with Kitna, is that everything's got the Lord did this and that.
I think Jesus had a 6-point spread or something. I think there was a Kitna didn't want to really make it too close.
All right, they did score on that drive, so but he giving up the touchdown made me furious.
Yeah, that was annoying.
And then another time he went and slid like 2 yards in front of
the first down
marker.
Yeah.
He just is a dunce. He's a dunce. He's a big knucklehead.
Yeah. Well, you know, you would normally expect a professional football player to be really smart, but...
Well, sometimes the quarterback, though, you'd think would be a good
position. You know what,
they're
running
the
this, they're running
yeah,
this offense...
Yeah, but 900 concussions later.
Yeah, that's true.
They're running this this kind of college offense in which the quarterback drops back and, like, scrambles a lot and... throws on the run, and they're running it with Johnny Slow Shoes. McGee.
He's as mobile as Johnny Unitas is now. That's the Johnny Slow Shoes.
But that's a thing, though. You know what But Corey got to celebrate, though, because he really... Because they used to talk about Corey can't run something in, but then this happened, and I was...
Yeah, you know what? It's fine. Look, I lost the first week, but I still have the championship, and so I can still celebrate this way.
Touchdown! Corey Hall!
Yeah!
There it is.
Wow, where'd you get that from?
Yeah. Monday Night Football.
Yeah, hopefully.
I caught a pass from the
Packers. Hopefully that guy keeps scoring, and William
Moore. Yeah. There's a guy in the NFL.
There's
like
some guy named Corey Hall.
Is he a tight end or something?
He's a white guy. I don't know what he does. I'm not sure what position. Corey's
there was a Corey Hall for a long time in the NFL who was a safety.
Yeah, he's a black guy.
And he would kept bumping my Google hits down. You know, he had to go through like 5 of his hits, but he sucked.
Mike Tirico, though.
Google hits down? You Google yourself?
I'm saying you try and get, you know,
you
Google yourself and you find out there's a guy in the NFL with your name.
The only time I ever Googled myself was when I was trying to find a website. And there's a guy named Russ Brown who's a
motorcycle.
You're
going to be Googling yourself quite frequently in Iraq. Yeah. What's the?
Yeah, I'm gonna have the Fragamini pose with my arm up the
pants.
I didn't know Russ. Yeah. Russ, if you Google Russ, you have a. I didn't know this. One of your other scams is you're a personal injury lawyer. Apparently,
yeah. No, Russ Brown.
I did not know that.
I've had bikers say Russ Brown is a really famous motorcycle attorney, and I was like, what? And there really is a guy named Russ Brown.
There's Russ Brown, who is on IMDb. I don't know who he is. Is that you?
Yeah, that's not me.
You're not listed on IMDb.
See, look, here's the thing. You put in Joel Fragamenti, and you come right up.
Yeah, you come right up.
And it's a Michigan-based comedian.
Russ Brown died. Russ Brown died in 1964, but starred in South Pacific and Damn Yankees in Anatomy of a Murder.
You know why? No one else has your name. No, there's no other Italians with a Jewish first name. You have the only. You're the only.
Greasy
McDagawop
is not.
There's
a common
Russell.
Name.
Oh, fuck you. Russell Brown is an.
There's the Russell Brown show.
Is an RIA developer who owns a motorcycle custom paint shop. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There's a band called Russ Brown and Southern Fried.
Yeah.
From Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Yep.
Yeah, I would say yeah.
There's a lot of Russ Browns. It takes
a lot. This actor Russ Brown. Seems
my
to
last
be the most
name
famous
is
guy.
Brown.
It's very true.
You
named your son James.
I did name my son James.
Nice work there.
He's gonna be way down the Google list.
You call him James?
Yeah.
You call him James.
I call him James.
Oh god.
And don't call him anything else, he gets pissed. They're like, hey Jimmy. He's like, my name is James.
Not Jim, although Jim Brown is
Jim,
famous
yeah,
too.
Jim Brown, James
I think I'd rather
Brown.
Be James Brown than Jim Brown. Jim Brown's kind of an asshole.
Well,
see, the Corey Angel, you're going to judge him on beating his wife,
but you're not married. You can't judge a man for beating his wife.
The Corey Angel radio show is the fourth entry on Google when you put my name in.
Yeah, see, but for me, it's college probably number one. Yeah,
there's college football, and there's some musician, and there's some other bullshit.
Right.
But
is there a barista, Corey Hall? Or no, he never made it. That guy
was before the internet. there was an early internet boom. I was a barista for like 6 months, and it sucked my dick.
You were like, that's
and then, well, actually, I did a couple times. Cause like,
was that when you were the bagel guy, or was that a different job?
Yeah, I started doing it when I was at Einstein Bagel, and then I did
can't
it
believe
for a
you guys are
bit.
Bitching about being a barista.
And then when I went to Borders, they had the goddamn cafe. And they're like, oh, we see you made coffee.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, I got hired to be in the music department. I'm like the assistant manager in music, and they're like, no, but we need you to help on the coffee. And I'm like, you fucking pieces of shit.
I worked at the Wendy's on Pearson Road in Flint.
God damn.
Take your life in your own hands, taking out the fucking garbage. And you guys are like, this barista was just so ridiculous. Really? Were you ever stabbed?
I'm not bitching about being a barista.
I was a dishwasher for a while.
Yeah, I washed dishes at Ponderosa. Yeah. I worked at the Wendy's on Pearson Road in Flint.
It's a shitty job.
I had a job. Another job shittier than Iraq.
I drove. Here's a shit job. This is a classically shit job.
All right.
I was the guy. I worked on a driving range. And I drove the cart that picks up the golf balls.
That'd be awesome.
And gets hit with the golf balls. Yeah, that was when I was in high school.
Did you ever get hit by a golf ball?
Oh, absolutely. Not only that, did I get hit in the machine.
Did a ball physically strike you?
Right. Well, let me explain. When you're in the machine, you know, the front is bulletproof glass, and the sides are, like, fenced. But guys, when they know you're in the machine, they try to hit you.
Fuck yeah.
They deliberately, like, you'd be running front of the guys, teeing off, trying to hit you. Okay?
Here comes the two iron.
Right, okay.
Absolutely.
And guys try to hit you. But what you don't realize is, you know those signs where they mark the yardage, 250 and all those signs?
Yeah.
You know, balls collect around those, and the machine can't get those. So what you have to do is you have to get out of the machine.
Oh, that's awesome.
You bring, like, a little 9-iron with you so you can chip the balls out back into the thing so the machine will get them. So meanwhile, you drive the thing out. Then you stop. You get out around the fence. Then once you get out, then it's open season on the guy when you get out of the machine.
Oh, my God, yeah.
Guys would hit me all fucking day.
Wow.
I got hit with a club in the face.
You got hit... Wait,
me and another guy
hit in the face.
Me and another guy, me and another guy that were doing this job, picking up balls, you know, knocking them away from the fences.
Well, obviously you've retained some of the memory of that because you just reached in your short to pick up some balls.
Hit me. His backswing hit me in the face with an iron.
Oh, I thought some guy was like, "Fuck you!"
No, it wasn't like that.
Tomahawk.
But while I was there, you know, in the hazard of the job, I got hit with a club. Got hit with golf balls.
It was more about him being a dumbass and you not paying attention.
Let me tell you about golf getting hit in Corey's golfs, and maybe this has happened to you or you've done this thing. But the thing about getting hit with a golf ball is you don't want to be hit when it's leaving the club. On the way down, it's not that big of a deal. Right. It doesn't hurt that much. There's not a lot of mass. Mm-hmm. It's a light thing, and on the end of its trajectory, it doesn't have a lot of steam to it. But it'll piss you off.
That's a great drop, by the way.
What's that?
All that stuff you just said.
Well, there you go.
The end of its trajectory.
It's a lot like Joel's balls. Not a lot of mass on its way down.
We're bouncing dicks off Nadia's face. we'll pull that drop out. You know, it's losing trajectory on its way down.
When the ball is on its way down.
does Nadia take a penis in the
a
face
ball to
on the
face?
Show?
Yeah, she has.
On
not
the show?
She might take
a
show.
She might take a golf club.
Wow.
Wow. Let me tell you, I had to re-grip my irons after she was in here. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Whackity, smackity, meh.
But,
Well, if you put in Corey Hall in comedy, you get some stuff.
Really?
And you get me on Rotten Tomatoes and things. But, there's the football
players
in my way.
Well, here's Russ Brown, racquetball player from USA Racquetball.
Yep. Everyone is more famous than me.
He has a 2-5 record. a 28.57 win percentage.
Even my alter egos are mediocre. Oh, that's great.
Russ Brown, you beat Mike Van Wart in Kyle, Texas in the 2007 championships.
No. Suck it, Mike Van Wart.
when you're
defeated by Charles Cotton Sr., though.
Charles Cotton?
This is in Texas.
Yeah.
You know, when you put in Steve Bills, you get CD Baby.
Oh, do you really?
Yeah, CD Baby, it really does.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
The Steve Bills, he was telling us all about how you got to put hot titles together.
Like, yeah, that was the other thing about
if you
the
put
C,
the Fridays
the DVD,
movies,
yeah.
the book, you put them together.
So he buys the DVDs yeah. from video stores.
He doesn't tell us exactly where he gets them because we didn't want to give right. away his secrets.
Well, if you have a kids pack, you put Nims, Nims Island and Night at the Museum
yeah,
together.
Yeah, he'll put like three Ben Stiller movies together.
Yeah,
or
he'll
something.
Package
I used
them.
To buy my kids Thomas the Tank Engines off there.
Yeah,
because those toys were like $40 a little right. tiny wooden train made in China.
Yeah,
sure.
And your kids have to have them, and then you can buy them on eBay for like $3 for a basket.
Yeah,
of
well,
them.
I'm currently auctioning. In fact, behind you, Russ, if you want to see my stupid new business—not a business, but just. And in those bags there on the floor behind you, mm-hmm. I go to Best. Oh, I shouldn't say this, but I get these game guides. You see those?
Oh, I see them. Yeah.
In fact, if you have any of these games and you want a game guide, you can make me an offer.
Oh well, thank you.
I have about 36 game guides that I acquired for a very low price at a very fine store, and I acquired them for almost nothing, and I'm selling them for almost nothing, but I'm still making a profit.
All right.
Because I got them from.
And at the rate you're going,
I made
will make dozens of dollars.
Made $3 yesterday.
Did you really?
Don't fuck with me. I'm telling you.
I always got money in my pocket. I didn't
have to.
That was Bill's. Was like, yeah. Look at this. I got $100 in my pocket.
He pulled his wallet out, and he had like $2,000 in cash on him. Or something like that,
well,
right?
He also does a really in-depth how to make crack joke.
Yeah, he does. And
that story, I worked with him in Hollywood.
Yeah, I meant to ask him about that when he was on there.
I did a gig with him, and he has this joke that he does where he just like casually talks about making crack.
Yeah.
But then he goes through exactly how to make it, complete with what size screen to use to whatever. And undercover cops came up to us after the show and said, that's exactly how you actually make crack. We're undercover narcotics officers. And
Joel,
I was like, I tell jokes about pooping.
Did he ever explain to you the genesis of that joke or anything?
No.
Because I don't know either. And I don't suspect that Steve is like on drugs right now. Yeah, but
it didn't.
At one point,
there's a confidence that does not, belay beginner's luck. When he tells it, but.
I think we should have people write in or call the douchebag hotline and request.
Oh.
We will put our personal recipe. Joel and I crafted this item.
What?
We will put our personal recipe for a house-made bong made with a Mountain Dew bottle and other household ingredients.
Did we make a bong?
Found at a Holiday Inn.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
You found a homemade bong at a Holiday Inn?
We
were hanging out with a comedian. Worked at a club. I had worked at a club with a guy, and we went back to his hotel room, and he wanted to make a bong. And we ended up using like the salt and pepper shakers from room service. And
wow.
we put the weed in like the top of the pepper shaker. It's got the little holes and it's metal.
Zesty.
It was great.
Yeah, I'm the only comic that's never smoked weed.
Really?
Yeah, never.
Why?
And I'm from Clio, where
what
you
happened?
Literally can't find a stray ditch that doesn't have it growing in it.
Why did you?
I don't know. I have an addictive personality, and if I liked it, I would do it all the time.
Really?
And so I just said, I should not do it. But yeah, so I don't get any of the. I go, another pot joke.
Pot jokes.
Yeah. Oh, you road comics and your hilarity.
Not a way of life, but
it happens.
I get it. There's part of me that wants to do it just so I know what the fuck everybody's talking about. But
I feel like
it's pretty sweet.
I think that pot. You know what I say? Why not do it right before you go to Iraq?
Because I don't get to go. I had to be drug screened.
Oh. You got to be drug screened?
Yeah, can't smoke weed and go to Iraq.
Oh, fuck that!
It's a bummer, man.
You want to have a clear mind when you take that responsibility.
Oh, God.
I'll tell you what. We'll hit the vaporizer in your honor.
Right. Yeah. I think it should be legalized. I'm not anti-pot. I don't smoke cigarettes or weed, but I think they. I think you should be able to do both in public.
We don't have the vaporizer. That belonged to a friend of yours, and it was returned to him.
Nigel. Rosenbloom's.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Nigel Rosenbloom.
The show attorney.
If we,
the show attorney had the pot.
Sure.
Wow. Nigel Rosenbloom.
If we had that, though, it would we would tribute you.
Yeah, no, Russ can't do that. We don't want to fuck up his gig.
No.
Here's my thing. Now, here's my deal about pot, and it's a bummer. I haven't had any weed in a long time. And if you're going to smoke it, you got to do it in the summer. Because smoking and like staying inside is lame.
So you smoked pot recently is what you're saying.
No. You got to smoke pot and like go walking around outside. Generally, the summer is your optimal pot smoking time.
It's a thing that, people have done it forever. All of the founding fathers
The raccoons start to talk to you and,
No, you know what? And that's, I guess that's the thing that pisses me off about road comics is you get these guys that aren't famous, but they've been a comedian for 30 years. And they're like, I smoke weed and I drive 4 miles an hour and I smoke weed and I fucking blah. And I was like,
hey,
every
those
person,
are copyright material.
No, every person I know is a functioning pothead. Every fucking comic and 90% of the people in the audience smoked weed that day. And they didn't drive 7 miles an hour. Well, I got pulled over on weed, but I you could tell it was
that's
weed.
That's because the weed now. That's because the weed nowadays isn't as good.
No,
that's what they'll tell
I
you.
Heard that the
that's
weed
the,
now
the old
was
guys,
way better.
The old guys will tell you the weed was better back then.
No, I hear that the weed is stronger now.
Yeah, the weed
I
is definitely
know,
stronger now, according to the people I talk to.
Yeah.
Unless you get some crazy... I worked with Ron Schock, who's a huge pothead. And
outing guys. I don't know who this
no,
guy is.
No, Ron Schock puts it in his act.
Okay.
He was in the Outlaws with like Sam Kinison and Bill right. Hicks and
everybody was by
yeah,
the way.
Yeah, a lot of guys.
About 48 guys
he
were
was.
In the Outlaws.
He was.
No,
I know.
The guy we made a bong with was alleged to be an outlaw.
Oh, how
the
dare.
The guys, the real outlaws, I'll tell you, I know for a fact, were Jimmy Schubert and Mitchell Walters.
And Joey Pineapple.
The other guys, okay. Yeah, the other guys, I don't know. There's a lot of guys who claim it. That's
Kinison and Carl yeah. LeBove and Ron okay. Schock and all those guys.
About six guys. And, yeah. But you'll hear any guy who was anywhere near Texas in the 80s will be like,
oh, yeah.
Kinison and I used to just go out and do line after line and woo!
But, yeah.
Hicks would do it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But he said that weed from Nepal is like from Krypton. And they've been growing.
From Nepal.
Yeah.
In the Himalayas, they grow the best
weed. I would imagine.
He said they've been growing it for like 2,000 years, and it's supposed to be the greatest weed ever.
But how do you get weed from Nepal? But like,
I don't know.
See, I always feel like some black guy pulls a brick of weed from, you know, his ass crack. And immediately makes up a story that it's from Nepal when it was grown in a basement in Lincoln Park.
He said,
that's what I feel that drug dealers do.
All right, I will.
Is that
so? You're saying
anyone else?
Black people are drug dealers.
No, I'm just saying that.
No, you
like,
can't sell weed without a story.
Right. Everything is like, oh, this is Cali.
Yeah.
I got Cali here.
Oh, this is.
Oh, I don't have You know,
the White Widow from
Mike
Afghanistan.
Mike Lundy was talking about Cali the other night. And I'm like, how do you know it's from California?
Or Thai stick. I heard like, that's Thai
like,
stick.
He's like, you could tell it's Cali. Like, how can you tell it's fucking a weed? It's a weed.
It's
who knows?
Pineapple Express.
Nah, yeah, that movie, Pineapple Express.
This
they went out.
This is Chinchilla Moonrise, man. You've never had weed.
He had
like
different
this.
Varieties.
Chinchilla
Moonrise.
Yeah, this Chinchilla Moonrise, man. It'll blow your mind right out, man. You never had.
Wow.
But, like, you know, like.
I think on my way back at the end of my stint in Iraq, they're going to stop me off in, whatchamacallit, with the place where everybody smokes weed. The red
Amsterdam,
yeah. Right. I think I might fly through Amsterdam.
This all is right. Mata Hari's third nipple. You've never had weed like this,
but
man.
It's always
this,
you know, like
blow your mind.
I mean, like Pulp Fiction, he pulls out the three bags of heroin,
yeah,
and he tells him this one's more, this one's this, and this one's
sure.
that, and this one, and of course, everyone buys the most expensive one. Well, that's why they do that.
Yeah,
do you want the shitty weed or do you want the good weed?
But it's like premium
it's a psychological
it's
thing.
Like premium gas.
Yeah, and then people who care.
Unless
buy
you're driving
gas.
A Lotus or a Maserati or something, you really don't need high premium.
Well,
gas.
Let's ask the mechanic.
Yeah. Well, actually, it depends on like Cadillacs and some of that stuff. They do that. I think it's calibrated for the premium gas, so it's set up for that. It's not that engine wouldn't run on regular, but everything is so tweaked and tuned to make the emissions work and the fuel and the mileage go. That it's calibrated for the premium.
But it's a high. It's on. It's your average car doesn't really need it.
Yeah, your average car doesn't give a shit.
I understand.
But
if you're driving a Ferrari, you want to put jet fuel in the thing. I understand.
Not necessarily. Those cars, you know, it just depends. It's how the fuel system is set up, and it's all about your air fuel ratio. Well, let's dork out on that.
Yeah, there you go.
Woo! But yeah, I do know about that stuff.
You do.
I did used to do that.
Russ gave me advice on my car once.
Did I?
Where he said, well, we were working in Flint, and my car was idling weird.
Mm.
And you thought it was some sort of a sensor.
Oh, the mass airflow
in the
sensor.
Air, and I don't know that that's the case, but I changed my air filter, and I never had a problem again.
Yep.
So there you go. So it was something in there.
That's
and,
right. See?
We fixed it.
I'm not just pretty.
Well, there
you
go.
I don't know. It might have fixed itself, but then again, Russ.
It fixed itself.
Well, I mean, it might have just been a thing that.
Yes, cars do
there
that.
There may not have been anything wrong with it
Joel,
that
Joel drives Herbie the Love Bug.
No, but it, you know, you restart. I drive Christine. Yeah,
I'll tell you what job I would bitch about if I had it. The guys who got to change oil.
Yeah.
Like in the summer.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah, those guys working in those bays.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah in the hot in the bay when home. It's 95 degrees. Yeah, those guys, that sucks for them.
Yeah, that's a shitty job.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I guess if I had to pick between the money in Iraq or no money and in a pit in Ferndale. Yeah.
Yeah, those guys.
Yeah, I guess I'd go to Iraq. So yeah. When are we going to come over there and do the
And
US
another
tour?
Thing is, I'm a civilian, so if I don't like this, I can fucking quit at any time.
Yeah.
You know,
you have no contract or anything?
Well, I mean, I have a contract.
So,
but,
you're going to hang out with Jason Bensie when he comes doing his USO tour?
Honestly, yeah. I don't think I won't try to get some of those. But I guess Tashi gets them.
There's guys who do those all the time.
I know. I wanted to do it. I was so pissed. You know, I joined the Marines to go to Iraq for the first Persian Gulf War, and it was over by the time I got in. Yeah. And so I didn't go. And then I wanted to go. I didn't go anywhere. I invaded West Virginia and fucking Kentucky when I was in the Marines. And I did like 3 months in Cuba for some bullshit. And then I didn't get to go anywhere. So now I'm going to finally get to go overseas. And I'd been trying to get on those USO stuff. And I couldn't get any of that.
I would love to do a USO tour of Hawaii.
Yeah.
Of Japan, Okinawa. I would love to do that. Can we get there?
Yeah.
We have troops.
How do you not get the USO tours, though?
I don't know.
I always heard from people, all you got to do is have the time, and they'll let you go.
Yeah, well.
That's all I've ever been told.
Everybody was
about
like, oh, man, I can get you in there. I'm like, okay, cool. And it's like, oh, I'm not going to give you any of that information, though, because I'm trying to get a booking.
Yeah.
Once I get my booking, then I'll put it in.
Man, I don't know what goes on.
Laura Liu was like going to do it, but she was like, I don't want to go to
I thought she went.
She was bitching that she didn't want to go to Japan. I'm like, Laura.
Wow.
You know, it's like the food
my
sucks.
My favorite Japan story is Bensie, who gets shit-faced at the fucking airport, gets off, and, you know, Jason's been on the show, right?
He's never been on the show, no.
He's this pasty, white, redheaded kind of, you know, guy with fucking sideburns.
He's got
like
a hillbilly
elbows.
Look.
I believe the word is redneck.
He's the thrillbilly, but I was trying to think. He was kind of, he's like a Deliverance style white skinned red haired kid, except that he's like a rockabilly kind of thing with sideburns. And he said he got off the plane wearing like skater shoes, bright red pants, and some sort of really loud shirt, shit faced, and in the middle of the airport goes, "Which one of you motherfuckers was responsible for Pearl Harbor?" And I was like, "Wow, that's stereotypical."
They thought he was the Stray Cats, though.
You know what?
American American Runner.
He did the Gathering of the Juggalos with us this year.
Oh, I heard about
and
that.
And he got the kids got him fucked up hard. I mean, he had a good set, but he smoked and drank about everything out of this.
Oh, well, yeah. Why are you out
they
the
gave
guy
him
on that?
Fuck. I mean,
continuing to out people on the corridor.
Yeah, well, I was just saying, he got, you know, I mean, well, that's what you, come on. You don't go to the Gathering and not get fucked up. Yeah, if you want to smoke some weed, I'll book you at the Gathering next year, Russ.
If by fucked up you mean finger bang a 14-year-old covered
in
Faygo.
No one's ever done that I know. But listen, here's the point. You go there and the kids just, you know.
Russ, how dare you? 17.
You're on stage doing comedy and, you know, it's like, oh, that was, rather than applauding, they hand you weed. It's an amazing crowd dynamic.
They will
don't
do that at regular
that,
comedy shows.
Nah, not like this.
Had people astounded. Like, offer me weed after a show, and I go, oh, you know, I don't really smoke weed. And they will look at their joint like, but this is good weed. No, this is my personal. This is good weed. And I go, no, I don't really smoke weed.
Everybody's weed is good. They all have a story about
it. They look at it like that joint betrayed them, and they don't even smoke it. They put it back in their pocket like, well, there must be something
wrong. Oh, no, this is like, it's being smoked while they're sitting, you know, while you're on stage. It's, I mean, you haven't seen Rowdy Roddy Piper until he, you know, you said, did I show you the Roddy Piper pictures?
No.
I got to show you those.
Oh, yeah.
Piper, I was on stage. I hosted a show with Piper. Mm-hmm. And he shotgunned about 5 beers in about less than 3 minutes.
What?
Smoked tons of weed.
An ex-pro wrestler who never took steroids.
Hey, man, you ever smoked
booze?
You ever smoked Martha Washington's pussy fart? Because that's some amazing
weed
right there. It'll blow your mind right out.
It was out of control.
Blow your asshole right out through break your head.
Rowdy Roddy Piper.
Yeah, the stage is just insane. You got to. Wow. Jason Bensie was great, though. That's my point.
Jason is a great guy.
And I can see him getting fucked up because here's how fucked up Jason was. It's a little inside, but he was so fucked up he forgot his toast.
Wow.
You know, he does his toast at the end of the show. Or
I love
raise your glass for the toast is funny
because he's like, to titty bars and porno stars. And it's all these things. He goes, this is a toast I wrote about all the things that are great about America. And he goes, to the General Lee and Pamela Lee. And I was like, wait a minute. The General Lee is a fucking car with a rebel flag on it.
Yeah.
And
well, that's his
like,
audience.
Well, there's my,
you
know.
Great.
And then Pamela Lee is Canadian.
That's true.
Like, her tits might be American, right. But she's
hold on, that's
Canadian.
An all-American girl now. Come
no,
on.
No, she's, you know.
Yeah, she's from Canada.
Hey!
She's housed enough cock to be a dual citizen, but
they don't
I
even
think
call her Pamela Lee anymore, so that's even
she's
part of
Pamela
Anderson.
What?
That's very good point.
Anderson, yeah.
She's not with Tommy.
But it doesn't
either.
Rhyme with MTV
that's
and
true.
General
yeah.
Lee, so it's got to be something.
But he forgot his toast. I was like, you've done that 5,000 fucking times
easily
on stage.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you are so fucked up. He was great, though. And the kids liked him. So
yeah,
no,
I've worked with him a ton. He's a great guy. I worked with him in Missouri one time, and we did this. It was a shitty little one-nighter. And he was doing karaoke after the show.
Yeah.
And he does the toast in the middle of, I think it's, is it You Shook Me All Night Long?
Yeah, it's possible.
He does the, I think it's You Shook Me All Night Long, and then there's the guitar solo.
Yeah.
And during the guitar solo, he has it timed out, the toast. So
wow.
Right at, and it's like, ka-dow! And then he goes right back into the fucking
wow
song. And I was like, you just did it on stage. And then you come to the exact same bar, and it killed. I mean, that's the thing about it,
well,
is that it fucking kills. They love it. But
more tales of Jason Benthy next week on the Corey and Joel Radio Show.
No, he's a good guy. He's yeah. He's
well,
a good
we just
guy,
we never had Jason on the show.
We should
so
be on the
he's
show.
Unknown
he's
to
the
now
thrillbilly.
Now we've built it up.
Oh, he told me about the thrillbilly thing, and then he goes, hey, I got a tattoo. He has a tattoo from like his upper thigh all the way to his armpit in this really kind of, you know, soft, feathery sort of script that says thrillbilly.
Nah.
And I was like, dude, I have some jokes and shit that I, you know, like, but I would never get my fucking, you know.
I have She Made Me a Radio tattooed on my inner thigh.
Yeah, I'm not going to have
it. And it's great. And it's a wonderful thing. And
my balls say fuck contractors. Not at all. I would never do that.
All right. Well, you know what? We're about out of time.
He's really committed, though.
The show has come to an end. But Russ,
you've
got a year. That you will be in Iraq. You leave next week, I believe.
Yep.
Am I right about
next
that?
Next week.
And there will be a roast to send off for us.
Yeah, when is that?
Monday.
Monday night.
At Joey's.
That is September
a huge turnout
15th.
For that.
Yep.
At Joey's in Livonia, if
huge
you want to go
turnout.
Roast Rush. Russ?
Yep.
Rush. You can roast Rush Limbaugh as well.
Rush. Rush.
hurry. Oxycontin.
All right. So, Russ,
speaking
we
of
wish
drug
you,
use.
We wish you good luck in Iraq.
All right.
Make
I'll
sure those
it.
Vehicles run well. I'm sure they'll be, you know, one day we might have to bomb them again. So
hopefully,
them
Russ, while you're over there, you can teach the Iraqi people about buying distressed property.
How many Iraqi properties are you going to buy over there?
How to clean up pet waste.
No, I worked with a guy.
Pyramid schemes.
I worked
you
with
can
a
teach
guy.
Them. You can teach them so much, Russ.
Yeah, I worked
not
with
pulling out. You can teach them so many things.
I got
things.
A vasectomy. I
got a vasectomy.
The
so.
Phaser's set to stun. I'm not fucking doing that. Nope.
Wow. So anyway, Russ, we wish you luck. Hopefully you'll keep us updated
absolutely.
One way or another.
Like I said, I know that if you stand on the tarmac in at the airport there, if you have Nextel, you can two-way the United States. So it's not like, you know, this isn't like I'm in the caves
right,
of Tora Bora.
Yeah, I hear
I'm
you,
fucking,
yeah.
you know.
All right.
There's going to be a Denny's
all
at
right,
the
well,
fucking base.
Good luck. So, try not to get
it was wonderful. It was great. It was amazing.
Thank well, thank you, Russ.
Yes, Russ. You will be our Iraq correspondent. You'll
all
be
right.
our first overseas.
I'll be your Rob Riggle.
Yeah, tell
yeah,
us.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, live from a green screen. In
all right.
Iraq.
Well, yeah. The only mine won't be a green screen.
All right, then.
Russ Brown, thank you. What else can we tell everybody? Get on the mailing list.
Call the douchebag hotline at 610-552-0746.
Yeah, tell us if Corey's being a fag about the barista stuff.
Oh, come on.
Just to see. Just to see people's opinion.
Because you thought
Russ and I were ganging up on you.
Let's get into a gay-off into who's worked
we're
last
not into
in the last 10 years.
It's not about that. All right, let's play
I've been
more
a housewife
music.
Since 2001.
Exactly. Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
I didn't even cock off too bad. I thought it was
exactly.
funny.
All right, let's play some more music. We're out of here. We'll catch you next
come
week.
Come on in. We're going to paint the
oh, that's not the music?
No.
And all that jazz I'm going.
All right, play the real music.
Here we go. Good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody. We'll see you next time. Except for Russ. You can listen you can listen to the show there, I'm sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, please send your cards, letters, and Russ, you don't want flowers. Do you want a donation to a charity of
your
name?
Send brownies.
Invest money into a slush fund or it's a pyramid scam in the memory of Russ Brown.
The James Brown College Trust Fund will be endowed in memory of Russ.
All right. Good night, everybody. See you.
Woo!